This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Scripture today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 11 through 31. It's a familiar passage about the prodigal son. Then Jesus said, "There is a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine that was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he called to one of the slaves and asked, 'What's going on?' The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' The son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years, I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and not all that is mine is yours.'"
Good morning. Our lesson from the epistles is from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brother and their sisters also. As Carol said, it's about the prodigal son. In our Bibles, the story, the parable, is labeled the prodigal son, but that's not quite the story. Jesus didn't begin by saying there was a young boy who had a father and an older brother. No, Jesus begins this parable this way. There was a father who had two sons. This is a story about a father who loves his two sons, and he wants his two sons to love each other. This is a story about forgiveness. It's a story about love. It's a story about God's grace. It's a comforting story, but I admit it's a very perplexing story. For the father doesn't wait for a confession. He doesn't tell his younger son as he sees him come down the road, "Son, I expect more of you. I expect better behavior." Instead, the father rushes down the road, embraces his son, the rebellious one, and he forgives his young son before the young son could even get a word out of his mouth. Most of us believe in forgiving others. Most of us would say that confession, penance, and a willingness to pay for what was done wrong is all a part of forgiveness. But here in this parable, Jesus tells about a father who shows instant forgiveness with no strings attached. For this is a story, it is a parable about God the Father, whose love is so extravagant, and the Father, God, expects our love to be extravagant. Let's begin with the young son. He's so hungry for money, he's so anxious to see the world, that he wishes his father was dead. And so he requests his inheritance while his father is still alive and in good health. In traditional Middle Eastern culture, this means, "Father, I wish you were dead." Anywhere. This is a very sad, outrageous request. This young man is not just immature. He's bored with life on the farm with Pa and Ma. And so what he asks is really unthinkable. The inheritance is substantial. It's a wealthy family. But the young man gathers all that he can gather. One version of the New Testament says he turned it into cash and went on his way. Jewish law did not permit such a request, such a sale. But this young man really doesn't care. And he leaves behind a healthy father, but now publicly shamed. How does he explain to his neighbors, "I had to sell half the farm because my son was bored with farm life"? And he also leaves behind a brother who has to work twice as hard with half of the land and still expect to succeed. Jesus said it didn't take long for this young man to squander his inheritance. He spends the money, and now he's got a big problem. No home, no means of support. And he knows that the only way back to his home and to his community would be for him to bring back enough money to buy the half farm that was sold. He has a plan. He's desperate. He's desperate to recover the money. And he becomes a pig herder. But this plan falls through. He's barely fed. And they really give him no cash for the hours he spends tending the hog. He's not paid. Having failed at plan one, he comes up with a second plan. A plan designed to get a roof over his head and food into his stomach. The parable says he took an interest in himself, or he thought to himself. None of those translations indicate or suggest that this young man was really penitent. He says, I'm going home. I'm going to greet my father. I'm going to say, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now remember the listeners to this parable the first time Jesus spoke it were Pharisees. And they knew every verse of the Old Testament. And they would know that this confession, I have sinned against heaven and you, it's a verse from Exodus chapter 10. It is the voice of Pharaoh trying to manipulate Moses into stopping the plague of locusts that were turning Egypt black. And Pharaoh was not penitent. He was simply trying to manipulate Moses. Young man is best understood as trying to manipulate the situation, hoping to soften his father's heart, hoping to derail his brother's anger. He has a plan, plan two. It's full of manipulation and not repentance. He will come home, get his father's backing, become employed, save money, and buy back the half farm, and regain community respect. He believes that the lost money was the real problem. But he has a plan. He can manage to fix things, to change what was wrong, or so he thinks. The prodigal comes home for only one reason. He's hungry, and the bottom line is, I'm dying of hunger, but I can fix it. Now part two, the Heavenly Father. He saw his son coming down the dusty road, and he runs out to embrace him, and the celebration begins. The father and the son, they reconcile in public, and the whole community is invited to a feast and to eat the fatted calf. Notice, there's no heart-to-heart with the father, no extra farm work assigned. No, go to your room for a week and think about what you have done. None of that. Just a clean robe, a ring for his finger, and new sandals for his dusty, sore feet. And the father did not even wait for the elder brother to come in from the fields. And the party, the celebration begins. When the elder brother came back from the fields and heard the music, saw the dancing, smelled the meat roasting. I'm glad I wasn't the one that had to tell him what was happening, what this celebration was about. Older siblings often feel that they get the raw end of the deal. Ever been there? My guess is that the elder brother is not angry by his younger brother coming home, or even by the public celebration, but he is angry because the best calf had been slaughtered and that the community had come together to celebrate. Let the penitent come home, but let him come home to do penance, not give him a party. What's the moral lesson in that? What kind of welcome is that? What about facing consequences? And what kind of world would this be if we all made a practice of rewarding sinners while the hardworking are still out in the field? What do you have to do to get a party around here? Do you have to go away and squander your father's inheritance? Do you go away and shame the family before you can be embraced? Listen, the elder son protests. I have worked hard for you, and you have never given me even a goat to roast and to share with my friends. God help the older brother. May God help all of us who feel anger, who feel excluded, who have hurts that run deep, and we have a very difficult time forgiving. The father has already reconciled with his youngest son, without the youngest son paying for his foolishness. But the elder brother, he is so angry. He takes the tragic step of breaking his relationship not only with his brother, but with his father. This son of yours, excluding himself from the family, this son of yours who's no longer a brother to me, and he refuses to go in and join the celebration. But here is where the father earns the title of being the loving, forgiving father. He knows that he's lost both of his sons. He lost the younger son to a life of recklessness and manipulation. And he knows now that he's lost his oldest son to a life of anger and self-righteousness. A divided house. A divided family. The youngest son wasn't sure if the father would ever love him again as he traveled down the dusty road back home. And the eldest son wanted his father's love, because he deserved to be loved. He stayed home. He had accomplished all the right things. He had followed orders. And now the father continues to love both sons, but not according to what they deserve. He just loves them because of who he is, because of who they are. They are a family. They belong to one another. And a celebration for one is a celebration for all. This parable that Jesus taught the people, it's about a remarkable father. It's a story about God and you and me. If the older brother accepts the love offered to him by his father, he will be obligated to offer love to his younger brother. Indeed, we learn from the Father's love that we love because he first loved us. Jesus came teaching in parables about his Father's love for sinners, for prodigals, for older brothers, for everyone. But the people didn't listen. They didn't receive the message. And so Jesus demonstrated that love. Remember that verse? No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, for his brothers, for his sisters. And Jesus went to the cross, and that was an act of love. He paid the price. He reconciled all sinners to God the Father. And now you and I love because God first loved us. The parable ends with the older brother standing outside the house, outside in the yard, listening to the joyful music inside, but refuses to go in. A divided house. We're living in a very divided time. We have a divided nation. Red states, blue states, purple states. And we continue to elect politicians who don't talk to one another, who don't work with one another. We live in a divided country where there are white and black, Hispanic, Asian, indigenous people. And we all have our little enclaves. And we don't mix very well. We live divided, let alone the pandemic. We argue before school boards, before city councils, wear a mask, no mask. And the arguments become very, very divisive. Do we socially distance or not? Last week I was at a store and picked out some items, and I was standing in the checkout line. And the man behind me was kind of breathing down my neck. And I turned to him and I said, "Please, would you back up a few steps?" He glared at me and said, "No one tells me where to stand." I glared back. Well, I paid for my items, and as I was walking to the car, I said to myself, "That didn't go very well. What could I have done differently?" And that's the question that we all need to wrestle with, to struggle with. Jesus leaves the story open-ended. It's up to each one of us to figure out, to decide how to end the divisions in our lives. It's up to us to decide. Will we stand outside all alone, knowing that we are right, or we will try to love one another, to work with one another, to embrace one another? When we don't love one another, we aren't loving God. A story, a parable, and the more you read it, the more you think about it, you begin to understand what Jesus wants from you and me, but not live divided, but to live as a part of his great family. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that oftentimes we're part of the problem of division, and we confess that we find it difficult to love certain people because of what they are saying or doing. But we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit will work in our lives to change us into a loving, forgiving person. This we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.